I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Guitar Nerds is sponsored by Music Nomad, our favorite guitar maintenance tool manufacturing masters. You should check them out on musicnomadcare.com or on social media with @musicnomadcare. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Brenton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Good evening, good afternoon.
Good evening, good afternoon, good day. Welcome, Matt. This is the 13th episode, unlucky for some, 13th episode in season three. Of all the threes. Yeah, exactly, all the threes. Not quite all of them, but, you know, a good... A large portion of the threes. Yes, exactly, exactly. Threes. Now, I kind of want
the best things come in threes, Joe. The best things come in threes. Just remember that.
I will bear that in mind. I will bear that in mind. I want to say at the start of this podcast, Matt, that we're going to do some live auction bidding.
Indeed, on
this podcast. In 11 minutes and 45 seconds as I speak, you're going to be bidding on a Fox Rocks Captain Coconut 2. You said it's something you've been looking for.
Yeah,
I've never heard of it. I don't know what this is.
Yeah, so Fox Rocks. I think Fox Rocks are a company we've spoke about before, like a US-based company. They make a bunch of great fuzz pedals. They've been around for quite some time, actually. JHS Pedals did a video even a couple of years ago being like, why Fox Rocks are legendary. So I don't know the exact amount of time, but one thing that people may remember them for or may know them for is their Octron, which is their sort of analog octave pedal. So you've got up octave, down octave, and a sub octave, so kind of like OC2 vibes. But you've got three buttons, so a button for each octave.
That is very cool.
They also do guitar pedals, fuzz pedals, where you could change the cards. So they had whether they still do them, the Zim Drive, I think it was, or there was some fuzz pedals where you could put like a different card in, it changed the flavor. But this one, the Captain Coconut, they don't make it anymore. I don't even know how long they made it for or whether it was limited or what. But effectively, it is Jimi Hendrix in a box, if you want to call it that. So you basically have an octaver, or octavia, should I say, so volume and drive. You have their fuzz foot silicon fuzz, so volume, grit, and fuzz. And then you have their Pro Vibe, which is their Univibe. And basically, you can run them all in series. But what is very cool is that you have an individual output for each pedal.
Oh, I like
it. So you could actually change the order if you wanted. You could route them in different orders. Or, obviously, if you're running it on a pedal board, perhaps you may decide to insert some other pedals. Like maybe you want a drive after the octave or a boost in between or maybe an EQ. Now, obviously, you couldn't use the buttons on the pedal to switch in those. It just allows you to route the three pedals on there in their own order or, you know, in, as part of a bigger signal chain.
That's very clever.
And I've never seen one for sale in the UK.
Right.
There's been one on Reverb for ages that, in my opinion, was far too much, far too much.
I mean, this is a lot of money anyway, as it stands.
It is. We, you know, I'm sure if anyone wants to go and look at the listing, they can. And I have, you always have to keep a limit in mind with these things.
It's £343 where we sit now. 8 minutes and 40 seconds left on the clock. 16 bids in.
Mm. So I guess, you know, what are the, I guess you can buy the pedals individually if you really wanted to.
that would be the same. Are you the highest bidder, Matt, or are you
I am not.
To,
no, ooh, Joe. So you're you never bid until 3 seconds out. Don't lay your cards on the table. Technically, I think they make, yeah, the only thing they still make. No, they don't make any of those anymore. So they're all of the pedals
oh my
in there
goodness.
Are discontinued.
So it is. It's all about this one. Rare in the UK, discontinued now. These are all the ingredients for a pedal being sold for more than it's worth.
Yes, and who knows where we'll end up.
Are you going to get carried away? Do you have a price in mind that you won't go above?
Yes. You always have to, you know, take yourself with a pinch of salt, I think. As you will well know, Joe, that when it comes to, you know, you get carried away.
I get carried away. I can't stand to lose. I take it as a personal slight. And then I just want to bid however much just to spite the other person.
Indeed. You will see. We'll see. But since, you know, I guess to give the listener a little bit of insight into what's maybe coming later in the year, we're thinking about finally doing the great pedal board build off.
Oh, yes.
And I'm thinking
Matt
this might be an excellent addition.
Oh, you might fit this onto your board.
Maybe. I mean, they are three of my favorite effects.
The boards we've got aren't that big. We've got Alder and Ash, custom Alder and Ash boards each. We won't tell the listener what we've done with the customizations of them, but they're not the biggest board, so you've got to be very careful with what you choose.
Indeed. So I guess we will see. But yeah, I was already starting to have a think about it. I was going through my my pedal leftovers, should we say. And I sort of like pulling stuff out and I'm like, oh yeah. You just forget you sort of have that kicking at the bottom of a drawer. And, God, it made me realise, once I get a bit more space, I can't remember who I saw that did this. I think it was the guitarist Josh Smith. He had, like, you know when you go to a mechanics and they have those amazing, what's the brand? Snap-on. Do those amazing, like, slide drawers for, like,
oh, yeah.
mechanics tools. Had one of them, but every drawer was like just pedals. And I'm like, that's what I want. Because at the moment they're in boxes. You've got stuff at the bottom you can't see. Like everything in slide drawers. I'm like, that's the dream.
That's where you're going next. Yeah.
That is
I have one of those IKEA Kallax units. You know, the ones that it's just lots of squares. And it's a big rectangle of squares. So you've got, I don't know how many, like maybe four up, maybe five across, six across, something like that. I don't know. It's big. And I've got that, and that's full of pedals.
Yeah,
it's not good, though. It's not an effective way of doing it.
No. And I like having everything out on show in some ways, but then I'm like, oh,
I know
just,
you do.
It's not, yeah. Then it's not all plugged in. It's like, I wish there was a way you could just have it all plugged in. All of the time.
Maybe you could do something like, you know, the Boss walls that you used to get at guitar shops.
Yeah, just have it all plumbed in of the time.
Everything on a wall always all plumbed in. I'm up for that. I think that's a great idea.
Literally no signal at the end of it. So weak, where it's just traveled through so much. It's one of those things now, isn't it? In some ways, I find it very strange. I mean, people have collected guitar pedals for decades. But I mean, even when we were at GAC, you know, 10 years ago.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
You know, not that many people had that many pedals. No. Do you know, and I just think the overwhelming choice at really good prices, you know, I just think there's a lot of impulse and going, oh, I'll take one of those. I'll play with it for a bit. And, oh, it's, you know, it wasn't much money, so I don't really need to sell it. And
that's it. I mean, I was even looking at like Gear for Music's own, you know, their home company pedals. Mm. They've actually put like some decent artwork on them now. They're in. They're in like proper normal pedal chassis now. They've got names and fun art. Like now that they've done that, it's like, yeah, these pedals are going to sound fine. You know, they're not going to, you know, they're not reinventing the wheel, but they're all fine pedals. Now that they actually look good as well, it's like, well, why wouldn't you spend sort of 25, 30 quid on these things?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, well, I'm sure there's a, I'm sure there's always the debate of the overall environmental hit of someone making something for £20. Yes, I mean, it's always depressing when you go to Amazon and you can buy something and get it delivered next day for a fiver or whatever it might be. But I just think the overwhelming choice, and even at the top end, you know, today I was having a chat with someone and we were looking at, you know, various delay pedals and stuff, and even like the £400 mark. And I know we spoke about this before, but I remember when we had that Pigtronics pedal, the first Pigtronics pedal, and it was like $199. And we were like, that is expensive. And it's like, it sat there for ages. Do you know what I mean? And then now it's like, yeah, I mean, the most expensive delay pedal you can buy, well, commercially, pounds. You know, I mean, well, pedals, I mean, like 450, 500 euros, you know, that's just a delay. I mean, you can actually buy the Echofix tape Echo and they're like 1900, you know, 1900 quid. So it's, it is amazing. I mean, even the fact that there was that, that drive pedal we did when I was at Anderton's for a while, which was like the Joe Bonamassa one, which was about 599. You know, and it is amazing, but then the quality and everything backs it up.
Yeah. It's just a different marketplace now than it used to be. And certainly, yeah, as long as there's people willing to pay those prices, and people are, because pedals are awesome and they're fun. We are Matt, we're down to the last 1 minute and 30 seconds.
Oh, I know.
Now £363, 17 bids. Oh, it's coming to crunch time now. iZotope and Native Instruments have teamed up to create the start-to-finish bundle that home recording guitar nerds have been waiting for. Plus, you, dear listener, get an extra 10% off with Guitar Nerds by using discount code NERDS10 at the checkout on iZotope.com. From the creative spark to the final touch, their new bundles include pretty much everything you could possibly need, which is great because it's far too easy to sink hundreds of pounds and a big chunk of your time into just picking up random plugins. The Music Production Suite 4.1 and Complete 13 bundle contains over 30 intelligent mixing, mastering, and repair plugins, 65 premium instruments, 20 plus expansions, and over 35,000 sounds. And if that's a bit basic for you, they've also bundled Music Production Suite 4.1 with Complete 13 Ultimate, which gives you everything that makes Complete 13 incredible, plus a colossal library of added synths, sampled instruments and effects, 115 plus premium instruments and effects, 39 native instruments expansions and over 65,000 sounds. Whew. It sounds like a lot. It is. It's very good, very comprehensive. And as we've come to expect from iZotope, it's very good value. If you're looking to get into home recording, I cannot recommend it more highly. And if you're already into home recording, it really is the one-stop shop for making what you do sound better. This podcast is entirely treated and produced using iZotope plugins, and Native Instruments have been responsible for almost every synth or sample you've heard on our Guitar Nerds jingles. Check out their great new bundles on iZotope.com or follow links in the description of this podcast and use discount code NERDS10 at the checkout for 10% off anything in the iZotope arsenal.
It's the thing is, you can never see, yeah, private listing. You can't see who's bid. It's like someone, right. you can look at the numbers and you can clearly see where people's have put their limits in.
Right, yeah.
But sometimes I always take the risk. I'm like, if I just wait for the last 10 seconds and then it's like, if you put your max in at that point, then if you miss it, you miss it in some ways. Whereas yeah. if you like leave it to a minute, you're like, oh, just, it could just be a pound. It could just be that 1 pound.
Yeah, well, you're down to your last 60 seconds now, so it's all to play for.
Oh, it's all to play for. It'll be the most anticlimactic, depressing part of this podcast. Be like, and you
didn't get it.
You know, but we've got to fill dead air, Joe. That's the thing. We've got to fill.
We're counting down the last 45 seconds until Matt wins this. Pedal. Well, it's good. We're going to see what happens, obviously, in the next 30 seconds. And then you and I can talk about other drive pedals as well, because I think both of us have been picking stuff up recently, looking for new things. You're searching for something as well. So we're definitely going to talk about...
Yeah, I guess, you know, part of this pedal board build and various things and pedal board space. I kind of go through phases on eBay going, oh, you know, maybe I should look at this or maybe I should take something like that.
10 seconds, Matthew. 10 seconds. Here it is. 5 seconds. £423 it's on. 3 seconds. 435. 1 second.
And I didn't win.
Oh, Matt, I'm so sorry for you. It went for £435.
I would say that was worth it. You missed it.
Really?
Don't give up. I will give up. That is the only one I've seen in I would say about 5 years. So,
Matt, I'm so sorry.
If I search Captain Coconut on eBay, I now get a Captain Morgan Coconut Rum Loco Nut LED lighted bottle glorifier display stand.
Well, there's never been a better way to drown your sorrows.
Yeah, or some Captain Kombucha drink, or a book called Captain Coconut and the Case of the Missing Bananas. All of which I'm sure will fill the hole of that particular product. But Joe, let's talk about drive pedals then. Let's do it
because I think, yeah, because what's going on with you then? Have you bought any other drives?
No,
are you just shopping for drives?
I think we spoke about when I just recently finished, I think we spoke about it last week a little bit, just finished the big pedal board and was using the Roadrunner Overdrive from Echoline, sort of loving it.
It's just so good.
It is just so good. And I already got a couple of fuzzes. And I was like, what I want is that really, and I'm going to use all the buzzwords here, that kind of like thick, chewy, kind of high gain, almost like that big kind of plexi type thing.
Right.
And I was like, I've got the perfect pedal for that. It sounds great. Marshall Governor. Only problem is too big. So I've only basically got a space the size of a Boss pedal on the pedal board. So,
I will say that the Drybell the engine has a great plexi pedal, but it's bigger than a Boss footprint.
Well, on a side note, and maybe we'll come to this after we've spoke about my drive pedal hunt and yours, is I might take the Deluxe Memory Man off the pedal board because it's a 50-50 pedal, Joe. It's a 50-50 pedal. 50% of the time, great. 50% of the time, not so great. And it takes up a huge amount of space. So maybe I will free up a little bit more space. But you know what I tried? I hadn't plugged in for ages, and this is going to sound like a real plug, but I swear, plugged in lots of things. JB2, Angry Driver. You know, that Angry Charlie sort of Marshall thing, and then obviously being able to like hit the front end with the BD2 that's in there as well. I was like, yeah, it's great. And the fact that, you know, using an ES8, you could remotely switch between BD2 or JB2, because it's got a remote in.
I was gonna say it's not MIDI, but
no, it's just got an analog
in. Very clever.
It's
I like
just
it.
An analog remote in. So I was thinking, oh, you know, that, and then you've kind of got the BD2 and you've got the JB2 vibe, so something like that. But one pedal, the other pedal that I tried that I always like, and it's just that kind of that sort of like thick fuzzy sound that's almost like a wall of sound type thing, Proco Rat. So I've got a Tate effects modded Proco Rat, which sounds really, really good. So I was thinking maybe the Rat would be something, maybe that's something I'm missing.
Rat is a great sound,
but then, you know, always miss my op amp Big Muff. I mean, it's just massive, obviously, on a pedal board, but also sounds really good. Sounds really, really good. So I don't know. I'm sort of in that sort of Rat territory. Maybe something like the Marshall Governor. Maybe I might even be able to get the Marshall Governor on there if I shift a few things around. But I've got the low gain side. It's just the high gain side that I'm trying to fix right now.
I see. Well, yeah, lots of options. Obviously, you've already got the Tate Effects one, and Tate Effects make great sounding, you know, drive pedals. The Antares for me, thanks to that clean blend, is just a perfect drive pedal for sort of aggressive mid-pushed bass guitar, as well as being like a really, you know, a fantastic guitar pedal. But I'm sure the modded Rat is excellent. You could look at a company like Fuzzrocious. Me and Blake spent quite a lot of time talking about Fuzzrocious pedals a few weeks ago, and he was on the podcast because, of course, they do the Cat King, their version of the Rat, which with, you know, three separate foot switches. I don't know why there are three separate foot switches.
Well, yeah, because we've had Ryan on the podcast many years ago now. Actually, we should probably catch up with him at some point, because he also co-designed a couple of MXR pedals, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Ryan? Yeah.
I can't remember which ones now, but yeah, definitely did a couple.
Hello and welcome back to One Hot Minute, the segment where each week I take a minute of your podcast listening time to demo a piece of gear that I'm excited about. This week I'm checking out the brand new Kwikweg 2 sub-generator octave pedal from KMA Audio Machines. The Kwikweg 2 is a wonderfully innovative, which I think is tricky to do for an analog octave pedal. I love the way the controls work, just one simple great big mix knob bang in the middle of the pedal. All you have to do is decide how much of the octave signal you want to blend with your clean tone, so it's great for just adding a touch of thickening beneath your sound or diming it and turning your bass or guitar into a full-on synth. The only other control is a switch that pops you between one octave down, two octaves down, or a blend of both. They've gone into extra detail and made the LED change colours depending on what setting you're on, which is excellent for a gigging situation. Now, in this sound clip, I'm using the Octava on a short scale bass with the mix set just under halfway, so it's perfect for a mellow synthy bass tone that keeps all the organicness of my clean signal and just the right amount of dubby synthiness. The best analog octave I think you can buy. Loads of fun and a proper old school tones in an easy to use format. Now back to the podcast.
I have a feeling it's something like the MXR bass distortion.
Yes, I think
you
might be right.
Because he's a bass player first. I seem to remember that was the case. And I actually think, don't quote me on this, but I think the MXR bass distortion, I think the bit that he designed is based on a rat style distortion, but geared for bass.
Right.
But yeah, he makes some fantastic stuff. It's funny, yeah, you know, you say about hooking up with him. I actually did. I had a bit of a chat with him after me and Blake had spent so much time talking on the podcast, and I made a purchase. I got his little fella. Have you seen the?
So be careful how we go about that.
No, yes, sorry. I have bought a pedal that he makes called the little fella.
I have seen it. So that's the one with the little spider on the front. If I remember,
that's right. Yeah, that's right.
If I remember right. I'm just trying to. Oh yeah, I'm trying to find it now. And that's the one in the kind of smaller enclosure, because a lot of their pedals are in the bigger enclosure. Yeah. And that's the they call it an overdrive, distortion, and fuzz.
Yeah. Extremely versatile, which is great for me. Like, you can run it at 9 or 18. It's very sculptable, so, and you can toggle like a gated mode, so you can get that kind of edge of breakup sound, but you can also go into absolute thick, full, ridiculous drive, which is really nice. I like the idea that, obviously, I need two to get the different styles out of it, but I like that if I prefer some of my other drives for that, you know, just edge of breakup style thing, then this could still be a fantastic full-on thick high gain drive.
Indeed, yeah. And interestingly, actually, one thing I was considering was taking the Deluxe Memory Man off the... you mentioned their sort of edge of breakup, taking the Deluxe Memory Man off and putting the RE202 on there, which has got the saturation control, so the preamp saturation. And actually,
can
having
you just leave
that
on all the time, then?
You can leave that on all the time. You can have it running whether the pedal's on or off. You can actually have the preamp on all the time, which is quite a cool little feature. But I know what you mean. You kind of want something that's just there, little bit of breakup in the background, you know, and you can stack other stuff on top of it. I think that's what I always look for when I sort of have drive pedals. I'm always like, maybe not on the fuzz side, but on the drive side, I'm like, what two things could stack together quite well?
I see.
But I'm also considering... we spoke about this briefly a few months ago, maybe last year now, but the Revival Drive Compact from Origin FX. I think I really rate those.
They're fantastic. They're extremely expensive. You've got to be really into that sort of thing. I think they're such a... They're not the sort of thing you take a punt on.
No, no. Although, funny enough, it's just reminded me that one of the pedals that sat next to me that I've dug back out of the box for a little bit is the Revival Trem, which obviously is based on the kind of that kind of tweed, classic sort of like Fender tweed, black sort of black panel style amps. I'm like, actually, that's really good because it's not a fuzz. It's not an overdrive necessarily, but it's got that kind of really responsive gain structure. You know, it's really dynamic. If you play really hard, it kind of gives a little bit more. You know, it's really good with the volume control. So, I don't know. So many choices.
So many choices. I mean, another choice that was suggested to me the other day. I can't remember. I think it was. I think it might have been JD that suggested it to me actually. But One Pot. Do you know One Pot? If you and dear listener, you should do this as well. Check them out on Instagram. One Pot Mexico.
One Pot Mexican Recipes. That's what I'm getting at the moment.
Yeah. One Pot Mexico on Instagram. Absolutely stunningly, gorgeously presented, often wood side panels, lovely, big, industrial-looking controls, and a huge range of sort of short-run custom pedals with some great names, like a bass distortion called the Bastardo. Which I was
I like it.
And there's lovely. There's things like they did the Sicario, which includes a switch, which I think is like a gain stage switch. So it's a massive toggle. But you know how on like nuclear weapons you have the red or plastic protection thing over the top that you have to like flick up and then you can click the button. It has one of those on it, which is extraordinarily cool.
It looks like they make an attenuator as well. Their attenuator looks quite cool. They've nice little brand, definitely worth checking out. Literally One Pot Mexico is the handle, which I find hilarious. I guess it comes back to what we were saying a minute ago about just lots of pedals and lots of people having lots of pedals. It's just the ability that for people to go out there and make stuff. It's just it's easier and there's more resource online, and you know, I guess guys like Brian Wampler and that sort of stuff have always, you know, certainly at the forefront of helping people out with schematics and builders and all that sort of stuff, you know, and really this whole community of pedal creators, big or small, being able to make stuff and for people to kind of lust over, I guess.
Absolutely. But I did in fact purchase a drive pedal. I'm not just talking about drive pedals that I've thought about purchasing. I did actually get one last week. I got myself a Way Huge Pork Loin.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's my first ever Way Huge pedal. I avoided them, I think, because that I think they had a few too many pedals that just sounded like penis names, and I'm not really into that in my pedal brands, but JD had recommended he uses the Pork and Pickle for the fuzz side, but he was saying the drive side's actually fantastic as well, and it has that all important for bass players clean blend, so you can maintain your fundamentals. And I realized that the Pork and Pickle is just the Swollen Pickle and the Pork Loin all in one pedal, so I managed to find myself a Pork Loin. It went for, you know, they go for like, I think I paid 120, 150, something like that. Not like a big chunk of money. And they are gorgeously presented, very well built, and just simple overdrive, tone, volume. You've got a curve control, which is kind of changes, you know, it's the mids, essentially. It's changing where that's, whether it's cut or boosted, and a nice little clean blend on there as well. I found it to be an absolutely fantastic sort of thick, can be quite, you know, transparent and low gain. Just a really gorgeous sounding, perfect for bass, but sounds great for guitar. Really fattens up, because I like my cleans to be quite, I guess, quite thin and quite chimey, and made a great, completely alternative sound on a pedal board when used with a guitar, really thick and fat and warm, really lovely on a neck humbucker or something like that. But couldn't recommend them enough, Way Huge Pork Loin.
Guitar Nerds are sponsored by Reverend Guitars, and we're pretty happy about that. If you're a regular listener to the podcast, you'll know that we've been big fans of Reverend for years now, and we're continually impressed by the constant stream of new guitars and basses they bring to the table. The things that stand out to me is their signature range. Reverend have a roster of really interesting top-notch players who all seem to bring something completely unique to their signature model. None more so than the legend Greg Koch, now on his second guitar, the Gristle 90, following the Gristle Master. The Gristle 90 is a beautiful, tasteful blend of a classic T-style guitar with Firebird-esque aesthetic and a pair of wildly articulate P90s courtesy of Fishman and their Fluence series of pickups. It's a versatile, modern instrument with gorgeous alternate dimension classic looks, great colour options, and quality buildsmanship. Check it out and the entire range at reverendguitars.com.
Yeah, interestingly, again, you know, I know you sort of said it there, a brand that I've sort of also passed over, I think. And I think I've had the Way Huge Superpuss, which is a fantastic analog delay, really, really good analog delay. And I know lots of people, the Aquapuss, again, is something that a lot of people really kind of go, yeah, that's a really solid analog delay. Interestingly, they don't make the Pork Loin anymore. No, so they have the Green Rhino, which I think is their kind of tube screamery type thing. The Swollen Pickle, which I think is their kind of Big Muff style fuzz. They've got the Echopuss and the Superpuss. The Super Lead, which is their kind of Marshall. The Russian Pickle. Blue Hippo Chorus, which is their kind of CE2 style chorus. Aquapuss. These are all in the what they call the smalls range now. So they're in small boxes.
Have they got rid of the Fat Sandwich as well? Because that was,
I think
that was
so.
That was my other main consideration for between the two, because it also, I saw some bass demos of the Fat Sandwich and that also sounded fantastic. It just didn't have a clean blend. So it's like when you hear the bass on its own, I'm sure it sounds great. I have no idea if all the low end is being cut out when you're listening through speakers.
Yeah, no.
But they go for nothing. Like I sort of, because I sort of, you know, ended up following a few and even got sent offers by some of the people, but I'd already bought the Pork Loin. Fat Sandwich, I think I saw a couple of them go for £100. It was like, this is a better pedal than £100, you know?
Absolutely. You are like, interestingly, obviously they make the Conspiracy Theory, which is their Klon style thing. And then now they have the Pork and Pickle in the smalls range. So 1 foot switch, and then you've got a clean blend and a clean tone, and then you can have overdrive or fuzz. And then they make, yeah, the Green Rhino and the Swollen Pickle in the smalls box. I don't know why you'd have the big one if you could just have the small one. They do exactly the same thing. And then the Atreides, which we spoke about, I think, just before Christmas, which is their fuzz phaser synth. And then the Way Huge STO, which is the first time I've seen it. I don't even know what this pedal is.
What is it? What is it?
STO. The Way Huge Smalls STO delivers smooth, silky overdrive that sounds like the purr of a freshly tuned up muscle car. That really tells me exactly what it sounds like.
It's got kind of that, it's got a similar look to the Angry Driver.
Yes.
Sort of thing. The white and reds.
Yes. Yeah.
I have no idea if those colours have really any impact on it tonally.
I don't really know what this is based on. No, doesn't really say. But also looking, I'm just trying to double check. I definitely haven't missed something, because I'm sure they made more pedals than that at some point, but it doesn't actually look like it according to their website.
They made a bunch of other stuff. Like, I was just flicking through images, and they had a bunch of other stuff. Things like, did you mention like the chalky box or the penny saver royale?
Of those have all gone. I think they must have all been sort of limited. I know the penny saver royale was the Joe Bonamassa one, which was the chorus and the overdrive in one box, and they called it the penny saver because the map pricing of both of those pedals together was like a penny or a dollar more than the penny saver royale. He was just like, I've just put them in both in one box, which I thought was a genius way to name it, and just go, look, if you want them in one box, you can buy them and you can save a penny. I'm like, okay, that's fair enough.
I mean, very good, very good. But yeah, I've been very impressed with the Pork Loin. I should spend some more time on some of this Way Huge stuff. I think having got it, I think I will try and find a fat sandwich and maybe a green rhino as well, because they look really, really good. So we'll see. We'll see how the rest of my search for new drive pedals go.
So what's on your pedal board at the moment then, Mr. Branton?
I don't have a massive pedal board. Not my functional, not my actual board that I use for gigging. Because of course, you know, it's obviously a bass board. So I'm still using the Boss MS3. Yeah, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, oh yeah, maybe it's time, you know, to change. Because I tried Helix and I couldn't find, for me, it's fantastic. It's a wonderful tool. Does some amazing things. Just couldn't find my sounds in there. Mm. And maybe that's just because I'm so used to the MS3. Of course, there's the GT and the GT Core, which are, you know, fantastic units as well. But I almost found myself again sort of coming back to the fact that, well, I'm not unhappy with the sounds of the MS3, and this is just little things, but the GT Core, the pedals are slightly closer together, and obviously there are less switches. So in live application, that's not a plus. That's a negative for me next to the MS3. The MS3, easy to use, has more switches. And so then there's like the GX. You've got the GX thing with all the touch controls and everything like that. And I just found myself going back to the fact I'm not unhappy with anything the MS3 does. You know, maybe I'd like to be able to blend in some pedals rather than having to run everything, you know, through in a line, but that's still achievable by using, you know, an LS2 or something alongside it. So for the moment, yeah, the MS3 is still my absolute bread and butter, and the MS3 actually deals with a lot of my core sounds. I use the Octaver off of the MS3 just because I can't fit a separate octave. I've got to be very careful on my pedal board because it's a small board. I could just get a bigger board, but the MS3 tends to do a lot of those things. So I use my vibrato, my ring mod, and my octave all comes off of the MS3. And until I got the Pork Loin, so did my drive, my main bass drive. I was using the bass drive on the MS3, and it sounds great. And the thing is, I keep buying drive pedals, A-B-ing them to the digital built-in drive, and I'm fussy with drive. It's not like I'm looking for a low quality sound. I kept going back to the MS3 one. So, but the Pork Loin is fantastic, wonderful, gorgeous, rich, very dynamic, much better. And I'd much rather have those things on rotary controls rather than having to sort of menu hop to get to them.
Yeah.
But so I guess, yeah. So MS3. The Pork Loin is on there. I've gone back to the Boss BC1X multiband compressor, just because that's a great compressor, and it's not just a compressor. I feel like it's almost a clean boost as well. It makes everything richer and more dynamic and a bit more trebly. And I do like that as well. It means I don't have to also have something like an MXR microamp on my board. It kind of does that all in one.
Guitar Nerds are teaming up with Music Nomad, and I really think, nerds, you need to check out musicnomadcare.com. We've spoken about all their wonderful guitar maintenance products on the podcast, and I really can't emphasize how important it is to look after your gear and how easy Music Nomad make that for you with things like their how-to advice center and their setup hub. Music Nomad have been around for a little over 10 years, and in that time they've become one of the most recognized brands for guitar tech gear. They're available worldwide in every guitar store you can think to name, and it's for a good reason. All their products are professional grade quality. Every tool and even the cases the tools come in are designed for proper, rugged, on the road use. Make sure you check out what all the buzz is around Music Nomad, as they are redefining and raising the bar for equipment care. Learn more at musicnomadcare.com or follow them on social media with @musicnomadcare.
Yeah, it's definitely because it's like digital, and the way that the processing works inside, it definitely does something pretty cool to your signal. I mean, I always thought the CP1X was a great kind of leave on all the time. It was sort of like a great polisher, if you will, sort of kind of have that in your signal chain, and it sort of did a bit of everything, and and you know, it didn't have to have some extreme effects.
Yeah.
But it certainly just kind of made a nice difference to your overall tone, I thought.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, absolutely. And then I guess what else do I have? I have a Sans Amp, Bass VT Sans Amp right at the end of the chain, because I moved to Class D head, so I need something to make it sound like a valve amp at the end. And the only other thing on there at the moment is an MXR Phase 90. And the second someone makes a better phaser than that, I'll have that on my board, because I'd love to have something cool and boutique. And every time I get a phaser, I end up going back to the basic MXR Phase 90 because it sounds better than everything.
Yeah. I must admit, I mean, I keep going back. I mean, I have the Phase 95, which is the mini one that has the Phase 45 mode, and then the script mode and the non-script mode, and it's just great. I know mini pedals, and I'm always a bit funny with mini pedals, but it just does sound really good. That classic, I always find the MXR phase sound has got that, it's really like thick, and it's got this kind of, it sits in the mix really well, and rather than being like an overwhelming effect, it's just a great thing to have. And then I find, like, I always found, like, the Boss phase is really good, but they're the polar opposite. They're quite bright. They're quite resonant. They feel more vocal. They feel like a bigger effect in some ways. But the Phase 95, I don't think you can fault it. And they're just not a lot of money. Not a lot of money at all.
That's it. That's it. They are super affordable. The only thing I actually want to find some room on my pedal board for is the KMA Queequeg 2, which is their new octave pedal.
Right.
Which is very good. It's an analog octave pedal. So my Boss OC2 is not working so well at the moment. It's doing some, there's some weird artifacts there. I have no idea how to go about getting a pedal serviced. I guess I need to reach out to one of our effects pedal manufacturing friends, see if I can get that sorted. But
interesting. I was going to say, just quickly, one thing, and I don't know if I've ever told you this, but do you run it on 12 volts or do you run it on 9 volts?
9.
Because the old ones, especially the one, if it's the one that you bought from me, they actually run on, they can run on 9 volts, but actually they, all of those pedals from that period, the sticker on the back would have said, or if it's still there, will say Boss ACA adapter. And the ACA came before the PSA and was actually 12 volts. Now, what it does is inside the pedal, it actually steps it down to 9 volts. But actually, it requires more power. It actually works better at 12 volts. So definitely, if you can dig out a power supply or you've got a power brick,
I use the Chox power supplies, and they'll do that. They'll do everything.
Yeah, so I try power it on the old 12 volts. Not, you know, still talk about the KMA, obviously, but I just suddenly thought, I was like, Joe, I don't think I've ever told you that actually you should probably run that at 12 volts.
All these years.
I know. All these years. And that's the thing. Same as like old DS1s, SD1s. Loads of those pedals are actually 12 volts, not 9 volts. And they work on 9 volts, but the LED's not as bright. And definitely the circuit is like slightly undercooked, if you see what I mean. Because it's stepping down 12 to 9. So it'll be stepping down like 9 to 6 or whatever.
Yeah.
Probably
that's
not
what it feels like. It feels like it's really undercooking the effect, basically.
Yeah. So, but anyway, KMA, talk to me.
Well, this, so obviously analog octave, I'm very into that sort of sound on bass, you know, that where it doesn't work with chords, you know, that sort of lovely, messy, sloppy, not very articulate. And you can make those sounds really, really synthy. And the Queequeg 2 is the first thing. The first octave pedal I've heard, you know, it's certainly of late recently that I can bring to mind that really gave that Boss OC2 sound a run for its money and really gave me something that I was like, oh yeah, this is fantastic. And I loved that they'd reinvented how you control octave, or just made it a bit different. They'd just gone for that big mix knob bang in the middle. And so you're just blending in, you know, your clean signal with the octave, which is perfect. That's great. That's a wonderful way to actually do it, rather than you end up sort of having to volume balance a little bit with the OC2 because everything's got its own volume control, you know, sort of level control. You end up having things dip out or overpower. You have to really find it. Whereas this, great. The idea of just the mix knob, perfect. And then you just have a little switch that switches between two octaves down, two and one octave down, or one octave down. So depending on what you're controlling, which is great. The LED actually changes color depending on which one of those you've selected, which I think is pretty smart as well. But it was just lovely and sloppy and synthy. And you could, like, especially on a bass, you could really dime it and get like this really lazy synth sound, which was great. Or, you know, you could have it on just a touch. I mean, like having it on like two or three and it just thickens up everything underneath your tone. It's very, very good. I was extremely impressed with it. And top-mounted jacks, Matt, which on my small pedal board is definitely something I need.
Yeah, I wouldn't agree that they need to be on every pedal, but some people do really like them. But I think this is great. I'm really into this as a design. I think, you know, I love my OC2. It's one pedal that goes with me on every big pedal board. And one of the great sounds is that sub 2 all the way up, dry all the way off, and you just kind of get that real like square wave, almost kind
meatbox,
of
DOD meatbox sound.
Yeah, you kind of get that square pusher kind of like real dancey sub, and then as soon as you put drive on it and stuff, it's just crazy. And I love it. So anything that's kind of taking that sort of idea and kind of doing their own thing with it, I think that's really cool.
Do you know, I really liked it because so often when people release octave pedals today, they're all singing, all dancing, because that is kind of, that's what pedals are doing a lot of the time. People are trying to add stuff, make it do more, make it more controllable, more fancy, funny things. I really like that the Queequeg 2 is just a dead simple analog octave. Like, it's not on the money all the time. You know, if you hit two notes, it's gonna not know what to do, you know. And I really like that. That's kind of a proper good old school octave sound.
I think that's like part of the fun of it. I think, you know, that's why for me, and I've had a few of them, I never use the POG a lot, because the POG tracks really well. It sounds really good, you know, but it's just not what I want. I think when I want that kind of octave,
precise.
It's too much
like another guitar playing with you.
And I think it works really well for, you know, some of the kind of riffs, you know, Jack White, especially White Stripes kind of thing, sort of really nailed that sound. Works really well for kind of that Royal Blood thing. You know, so it definitely has its place, but I prefer, the same to you, that kind of OC2 slightly sort of broken and wrong sort of design, I think.
Absolutely. But I did a little video actually on I've been doing a bunch of, dear listener, and I've probably plugged these a little bit too much over the last few weeks, but if you head over to the Guitar Nerds Instagram, I did a little Queequeg 2 video demonstrating the how it sounds on a bass, actually, just because I think it sounds absolutely fantastic. So do check that out. Another thing that I want to talk about that I did a little reel for today, Matt, that I saw that you saw, I got sent. So Templo Devices are this absolutely wonderful company who we started talking to, I don't know, like a few years ago, because they do this this incredible, they did their like Nomad, which was the Rambler, which was a rechargeable lithium battery powered 30 watt guitar amp, and they just look fantastic. They're sort of like gorgeous old school mesh, lovely things like oxblood colored grill cloth and Tolex. They were just very, very cool looking amplifiers. We started talking to them back then, and they released recently their pedal, the Splice, which, you know, keeping up with this idea of I guess the battery amps are a kind of aimed at a busking thing. The Splice is also aimed at that. So it's an effects pedal that you can run your guitar through, obviously, but you can also run a microphone. It also has an XLR in. And then you have a balance. You can control the mic level. You've got the guitar level, so you can blend both of those up. It has a 3-band EQ and a separate foot switch that allows you to boost the signal, which is very handy. So I think kind of maybe, like, certainly in the videos, a lot of the ideas of using this is really handy if maybe you use a little bit of reverb or something like that, you know, on your board, and you want to run your vocals through that. It's very handy being able to have vocals and maybe a single guitar going through one pedal board at the same time, if it's just sort of simple transparent stuff. I think that's kind of the idea. And to be able to sing and play through a single input, essentially, which is, of course, what you'd be doing for busking. It's very handy for that. But I wanted to... they also say, you know, it's a clean MOSFET boost pedal for your guitar as well. So if you just want to use it like that, it's a very good boost pedal.
Yeah, I actually, you know, I think there's a few things... There's not that many things. I think the only other pedal that I can remember that maybe did something similar, and it wasn't really the same thing, was the Keymaster from Pigtronix, which was like a pedal board parallel loop with a mic in and stuff like that. But I like the fact that this is like a pedal board. You could run this at the start of your pedal board, have a mic in, your guitar goes in the front end, then it's a boost for the rest of your pedal board. But then you can also run the mic through some of your pedals as well. Yeah. Certainly, yeah, I think from a busking point of view, being able to just plug both in, mono out into the front of an amp, that's obviously what one of the things they're going for. But I definitely think you could get pretty creative with a... pedal board and stuff like that as well, and running it into, you know, delays and reverb, certainly in the studio, if you kind of just want to be able to quickly have everything output mono through a little jack, and then you're going to run it through some delays or reverbs. I think it's a really nice, neat little idea.
Well, that's exactly what I used it for today, actually, when I made a little reel. I ran the Splice into the new Chase Bliss Habit, which we haven't talked about on this podcast. We're holding off because we're gonna have Joel on an episode in a few weeks, so we're gonna go into depth about the Chase Bliss Habit then. But I had plugged a mic in to the Splice and ran that out into the Habit, and I was looking for my, I can't remember the name of it, my harmonica mic, the green whatever you call it.
The shore type one.
Whatever that's called. I just couldn't find it anywhere, and I was like, it's difficult to. You can use any mic with a harmonica, but I really wanted that one, so I was like, well, maybe I'll find something else to run a mic through. And on my partner Emma's shelf, she had like a. I really don't know what this instrument's called. You thought it was something else, right? It's a singing bowl with notes essentially.
Yeah, is it like a mini, like a hand pan, but mini?
I have no idea what this instrument is, but she's just, her mum bought it for a couple of years ago and it sits on a shelf. I mean, it makes cool sounds, but I was like, oh, perfect. It's like a twinkly sort of xylophone-esque singing bowl thing. That would be great. So I popped the mic up from the splice next to the bowl, ran it into the habit, and I had a lot of fun making that real video because the habit obviously does some crazy stuff, but that's kind of an application for the splice that I think is wicked, like weird studio sounds, you know. What can you mic up, you know, anything? There's just,
yeah,
if you've got interesting pedals there, you can start using guitar pedals for so much more than just, you know, manipulating guitar tone.
Yeah, I think, you know, we were talking about having things, I think maybe last week or the week before, we were talking about having things in a studio set up and ready to go and easy. And I think that's why it's good to have, you know, like a pedal board that's just got a power supply and a bunch of power cables and some jack cables ready to go. So if you've got a bunch of pedals, you can just sort of plug a few things in and sort of mess around. And that's what I've been doing with a Boss BCB 90. Just sort of left the power supply plugged in. I've got a bunch of cables and then digging out some stuff from the box and kind of going, oh, I'll plug this into this. And, you know, it's a good way to kind of create some new sounds. And that's what I think this splice is really good for. Like you say, it's just cool to kind of go, oh, yeah, I'm going to run that through a microphone. And, you know, everyone likes saying, hey, and then running that through about 3 million delays and a reverb. And being like, oh, man, this is great. I could do this for hours. I think really cool little addition to a pedal board.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Loads of fun, like not just for buskers. I think, you know, I think just a cool, interesting pedal that also doubles up as a boost. I'm well in. And Templo Devices are a great brand, dear listener. Do check them out. Like the amps are extremely cool. The splice itself is very cool indeed. But yes, what else was I going to? I was about to talk about something else. I was going to segue in, and I've completely sort of lost my track there. I tell you what. The before I move on, the other thing I was going to mention briefly, just to reiterate on the podcast, we've been talking about Moog Gravit. Asked me this on the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook yesterday. In fact, of course, Guitar Nerds and Euro DSP have teamed up to do this 30% off discount code. Discount code is Guitar Nerds, so you get 30% off of any of their plugins. Moog came to use it yesterday and it didn't work. And the reason it doesn't work is because Neuro DSP are having a birthday sale at the moment, so you get 50% off. They've disabled all their other discounts. So dear listener, now is the time. Now is the time to take advantage of the Neuro DSP sale with 50% off of any of their plugins, except for, I think, their new ones. So the brand new one, their Tone King, I think is excluded, but all the other bits and bobs are involved, and they are just fantastic. You know, I was out for a beer with a fella who's like a long time Helix user, and he was saying that he used Helix Native for all his recording, and he's shifted over now to just using Neuro DSP plugins, and he just uses the Soldano plugin for everything now. They are very, very good for, you know, all-in-one solutions.
At least they've realised that they had to cancel all the other codes and couldn't stack codes. unlike my local Indian takeaway that didn't realize that at one point a couple months ago and sent out some codes but already gave codes out online. And I think it was like, I think we ended up getting something like 40% off because we managed to stack about three codes. Wow. Thankfully, they are the number one rated restaurant in London on TripAdvisor, which is crazy considering there are 27,000 restaurants in London.
They must be really good. Are they good?
They are very, very good. You know how difficult it is to find a good takeaway. Very good. But yeah, at least they noticed that they were running a slightly better deal, and then like, we better make sure that no one, like, well, I think also good that they made sure that no one put anything through at 30% when they could have got 50%.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, very cool. I think, yeah, now's definitely, if you're considering, we haven't tried it, now is definitely the time to go away and do it. I mean, I was watching a video with Tim Henson from Polyphia. Is that the band, Polyphia?
I think he does something with Muppets, doesn't he?
Yes, he has got a very, very similar name. I was watching him demo his plugin, and obviously he's got that kind of very modern, hollow's not the right word, but you know, it's kind of a guitar that doesn't sound like a beefy guitar plugged into a Marshall, if you know what I mean.
It's that ultra scooped.
Yeah, but he's got that crazy, he's got that crazy multi-voice setting, or like part of his plugin, like one of the effects. And I watched him demo it, and I was like, I get it now. And it sounds crazy. Like, the way he uses it, it's almost like a vocoder. And I'm like, yeah, this thing sounds great. So, yeah, check if you haven't checked it out and you're interested in trying one that's maybe a bit cleaner, or maybe, like us, love some weird effects, definitely the Tim Henson plugin would really be worth a go. The multi-voice...
His plugins look fantastic as well. I know it's a weird thing to say about a plugin, but they do look very good. The graphic designer they've got on board for those amps is very good.
Indeed. It's definitely one worth trying out. And obviously they've got the new Tone King one, which I think, did you say isn't included in the deal?
I don't think it's included, no. I think the brand new things they've excluded... don't take it as gospel, but you know, that's certainly, I know that it's excluded from the Guitar Nerds 30%. I know that one's not included in our one, so I assume it's not included in their birthday one, but definitely worth checking out. And dear listener, you know, it's 14 days free with no credit card required on any of their amps, so just try some out, you know, just commit them to a recording, you know, for free. It's, you know, that's what they're there for. It's very,
indeed,
very good. Matt, you know, you mentioning that Indian takeaway, that was one of the things I was most worried about when I moved out to Angering, to the village, dear listener, that I live in now. I was like, oh, I'm not going to have any good Indian takeaways, which is a real important sort of backbone of my weekly diet. Because in Brighton, you're spoiled.
you're spoiled for choice.
And I was really worried. So the village square in the middle of Angering, it has a barber's, very good barber's, one pub, a tea room, a fish and chip shop, a coffee place, and an Indian takeout. Oh, and a butcher's, I think, as well. But, you know, so it's
you're never gonna, which you're never gonna use.
No, I'm never gonna use. But you know, so it's just this tiny little Indian takeaway. And I was hoping it was going to be good, and it's absolutely fantastic. Also, you know, because I don't expect places to list, you know, vegan curries, so I know which ones should be vegan, but you still have to check. Sometimes they use ghee in places that, you know, others wouldn't. So you still have to make sure every time. And they do a whole bunch of vegan stuff. They're absolutely fantastic. Amazing, amazing Indian curry place. Every time I order over the phone, I would say it's almost 50-50. They will mishear me say vegan, whatever the curry is I'm ordering, and they'll hear chicken. And,
I've been with you when that has happened.
Yeah, I think down phone lines in a busy Indian takeout, that's an easy thing to mishear. They're always lovely about it, but, you know, it's happened too many times have I got home, unpacked the curries and been like, yep, it's a big old lump of chicken.
So what do you do though? Do you return
it back normally? Yeah. They're really good. They're really good. They're always like, yeah, no worries. But of course, you've got to return one curry. It's like, well, if one of them's done wrong, the other one's done right, then the other one's going to be cold, you know. What's your rice going to be up to in the time? I've gone back and got, oh, palaver, Matt.
Oh, Joe. Oh.
There we go. Anyway, we are coming up to the end of this week's podcast, dear listener. Matt and I are going to go over onto the Patreon, and you can join us there, dear listener. Join us over on Patreon. We're going to talk about, I found a base on eBay that I'm going to be bidding on. So we're going to be talking about that amongst other things. But you can join us over there for as little as $1 a month. If you join at the dollar tier, then you get this episode ad-free and early. And I know there are a lot of ads at the moment. I think we've got like 5 ads running on the podcast at the moment, so that's quite a few. That's like one every 10-15 minutes. If you don't want to hear those ads, pay $1 and come over onto the Patreon for that. If you pay $5 a month, then you get our entire back catalogue of Patreon special episodes, as well as a whole bunch of mini-series. Been a long time since we've done a mini-series. We're going to have to remedy that. Certainly, Matt and I are going to be doing some interview episodes coming up soon, so that's going to be fun. And at the $10 tier, you get all of that. Plus, I sing you my thanks at the end of every episode. So yes, you know, that's wonderful. Anyway, head over to patreon.com/guitarnerds. Join us for this next Patreon episode. Check us out on all your favorite social media platforms. Join the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook to get involved in our weekly episode discussion. Thanks for listening. You've been lovely. We've been the Guitar Nerds. Farewell.
Goodbye.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.